The media has been portraying this as something that happened to an LGBTQ student because, you know, rampant bullying is happening against these people, against any kid that identifies as something that's non-traditional, that takes on one of these alphabet identities, and it needs to stop. And also, in order to save their lives, we need all of this legislation that allows them to change their pronouns and their names and get surgeries that mutilate their bodies.
Good evening, everyone. A Missouri teen, Kaylee Gain, has been beaten into critical condition and literally a coma by another teen. And there's a reason that you're not hearing about that on mainstream media. We'll talk about that tonight. We're also going to be talking about the fact that Donald Trump yet again was right. And he seems to be right about most of the things that he says. Now, he'll exaggerate every fish is bigger, every ball was hit further, and that kind of thing. But everything that the left, the media, the institutions of powers, especially academia, say about Donald Trump is a lie. We'll talk about that. For the first time, I don't know why it's taken this long, but we're going to be talking about the Whatever podcast and asking, is it so good or no good, which is a good cultural topic. So let us know what you think in the chat. The Whatever podcast, so good or no good? Let us know. And it is the TikTokalypse. It's so hard to say this. TikTokalypse. I said it like three times in my kitchen. TikTokalypse. Guys, the House has voted to ban TikTok. It's going over to the Senate. It went through committee in just lightning fast. It went through the House. I think it was a unanimous vote. So it's really interesting. The internet's going crazy with conjecture. And I hate to say it. I hate these words to leave my lips. But with a lot of misinformation, just a lot of bullcrap about this bill because reading is hard and it's clear that very few people open the bill, and we open the bill. It's short, it's sweet, it's a very tidy piece of legislation. We're going to be talking about that and more, and it all starts right now. Tonight's show is brought to you by us, The Joe Mobley Show. Make sure you head over to thejoemobleyshow.com/shop to get the very best gear that you need. You need to wear it while you watch the show. And maybe you need to wear some of it to work or out with your friends. It starts good conversations. All of the proceeds go towards making the show and just helping us to be able to restore, rebuild, and revive America's dying culture better. If you want to support other companies, you can look for the show on Public Square. Public Square gets a little piece. We get a little piece. There's the Rumble Rants. I think Samantha's YouTube channel is monetized. Mine is not. So you could support Outspoken Samantha on Outspoken Samantha's YouTube channel or Rumble, because all Rumble videos are, monetized. And you can give her some Rumble. Actually, I don't know if you can drop a Rumble Rant, a paid Rumble Rant in a normal video that's not live. Anyway, let us know. We'll be checking in with the chat periodically. TheJoeMobleyShow.com/shop, again, is the sponsor of tonight's show. Use promo code FREEDOM, and you get 10% off. Samantha, how are you?
I am fantastic. How are you?
Good. Did you say who's on tonight?
I did. That was me.
You're on tonight.
I'm on tonight. Lucky us, everybody. You're welcome.
Oh, I got to turn on my light. How have you been?
Good. As ever, it has been an interesting week. I meant to bring it in here and I forgot to grab it. I just purchased Peter Schweitzer's new book, Blood Money. Highly recommend it, guys. I'm only 10 pages in and it's already keeping me awake at night. So it's pretty much about China's involvement in our country and pretty much every way that they are attacking us. So
nice.
It's so far super interesting. Just barely scratching the surface of the whole fentanyl situation, but Getting information that I can get for free and that, you know, Harvard grads are paying hundreds of thousands of dollars not to get. So,
oh man, which one, great American author or poet said, never let your schooling get in the way of your education? Was it Mark Twain? I think Mark Twain might have said
that. Sounds like a Mark Twain type quote for sure. I don't know who it was, but
it wasn't me. I can't steal that.
Actually crediting the correct people for their work is not a big deal these days. So you can take credit all you want.
Yeah, I'm black. I can do what I want. You know, I once said, never let your schooling get in the way of your education.
Exactly.
I've kind of stalled. I've stalled out reading Greg Kokel's Tactics. It's a good book, but the last quarter I've been stuck on. I've been reading a page a day instead of 30 pages a day. I'm so stalled out. I've picked up other books. I'm also reading The Way of Men, which is an interesting book, but the worldview piece isn't there. So you need to identify in Christ as a man before you dive into a book like that, or as a woman if you're reading The Way of Men, just to know. But I started listening to the audiobook of the Screwtape Letters, and the guy who reads it does a phenomenal job with all the demon voices and the little British accent. It's so good. I texted it to my wife immediately. I was like, you got to listen to this. It's so good. But I don't think
I'll have to check it out. And I always have the intention of, I understand that audiobooks would be a lot more convenient, easier to get through, probably a lot faster, but there's just something about sitting down with a book and with the pages. So I prefer that. It's a much longer process, that's for sure. But yeah.
There's nothing like it. It just hits different. And yeah, you retain more when you read the physical book. A lot of people are like, oh, I do audiobooks because I can't read a book. It's like, no, you can. You just are too lazy to. You don't want to do it. And books are free. You can get them from the library. Anyways.
No, absolutely. Well, and I just, a little side note, I mean, as for audiobooks, it is the one way that I can get my 11-year-old to pay attention to a book. He's one of those kids that cannot sit still. He's got to be doing something with his hands. He's got to be moving around. He's got to be jumping. Give him an audiobook, and regardless of what he's doing, he can be painting the house, and he will listen to the whole thing and be able to recite it back. So he absorbs everything. It's absolutely astounding to me, because nice. You just look at this kid, you're like, there is no way that you absorb even one syllable of that book, yet he'll sit down and say the whole thing. So I have an appreciation for audiobooks, but I do think whenever possible, just pick up the physical book. And yeah, I hope we can hang on to that as long as possible before AI takes over.
One can hope.
Yep.
All right. We're putting up really good numbers tonight. Thank you guys for watching the show. You're probably like, when are we going to get into one of the topics? before we start this one, I hate trigger warnings as much as the next guy, but this video can be disturbing to some audiences, especially those who aren't accustomed to witnessing or viewing violence. So this long sentence is your time to get any eyes or ears that shouldn't or don't want to see or hear this to remove themselves, and that's how long I can make the sentence. All right. So, we'll just watch the video. So this happened, I think, what was it, Saturday or Sunday? There's some language.
You're in heaven. I swear.
Get off of him!
Yeah, so like I said, this is definitely a bit of a disturbing video, but unfortunately, it's an extremely normal and honestly, for living in the hood, it's kind of a mundane, like, oh, it's just another, a bunch of street trash fighting. Like, this is a typical ghetto scene. But obviously, like, this chick's parents, the black girl, I can tell they don't hold her accountable for anything. I've been in a number of fights. I've won 95% of my fights. I've never gotten on top of someone and bashed their head into the ground, which the reasonable person standard, that's what you do when you're trying to kill someone. She fractured her skull. This girl is in a coma in critical condition. I believe she's still alive. The last time I checked was like 12 o'clock noon this afternoon. But the reason that you haven't heard of this, if you haven't heard of this, is because the aggressor is black. And the victim is white. That's why you haven't heard of this. And it's outrageous. You need to identify that the media does this. The media is gaslighting you because they're making you think that all crime is perpetrated by racist white men with beer bellies and MAGA hats and fully automatic, you know, rifles. But it's not. 8 out of 10 violent crimes in this country are this. Actually, it's not this. This is an oddity. 8 out of 10 violent crimes in the United States is a black person perpetrating crime against another black person. So this is actually an atypical scene. But curious what your thoughts are.
Oh my gosh, I have so many thoughts about this one. I did see the video a few days ago when it first came out, and it is really unfortunate that this is normal. You know, how many times a day do you see these school fights across social media? And it's astounding to me that it's so normal to these kids that are involved in them that their first instinct is to bust out their phone and to start to take a video. You know, it just shows how desensitized these kids have become to it. I remember when I was in school and, you know, school fights, at least where I was, were not that common. I mean, and if there was a fight that was coming, we usually knew exactly who it was going to be between, and everybody knew about this conflict beforehand. But it wasn't something that most students were engaging in. And definitely nobody was going into that fight with the intent to like permanently harm or kill the other person. And I think it just goes to show, especially like these kids have no concept of long-term consequences, of permanent consequences. It's almost like they're detachment from reality because they spend so much time on social media. It's like they don't understand the repercussions of their actions in the real world.
Sorry, that was me.
It's so disturbing that this happened. And I don't know if you guys, if anybody has been following this story and saw any of the update posts from Libs of TikTok, this particular high school has ironically won awards for their participation in DEI programs, in implementing DEI curriculum. So if DEI is so beneficial to people and it's really benefiting people's health, mental health, and it's really uplifting students and making a more inclusive environment, why is it that so many schools are practically war zones at this point? I mean, good teachers are leaving the education system, and the number one reason that they cite is student behavior. And it's not just snotty students. It's not just students back-talking. It's the fact that they're getting like desks thrown at them. They're getting punches thrown at them. You know, it's just not even a safe environment for anybody. So clearly there's a disconnect between what, you know, the radical left says that they intend to teach and the values that they want to instill in these kids and what it is that, you know, the implications of what it is that they're actually learning.
Yep. It's It's super frustrating. It's super annoying. And I wish people's parents held them to account. And I wish that we stopped pretending like the number one problem in this country is racism, extremism, alt-right, ultra-MAGA, whatever-ism. And instead say the problem with the country is moral decay, is our education system is a complete laughingstock, and we doubled down and made it worse with the COVID lockdowns, and now they're just saying, oh, you know, kids can't read. Well, in reality, kids couldn't read before COVID, but the kids who grew up with COVID and had that two-year disruption, they're just extra screwed. They're probably not going to vote because they're not going to be able to read any of the stuff on the ballot. What are we going to do it with crayons? And they're going to be like, oh, use the red one or the blue one. And they'll be color coordinated. And how are they going to read? How are they going to read the questions when it comes to matters of law or local ordinance that are on the ballot? I have no idea.
They're not going to. And it's actually interesting. I was listening. I can't remember the name of the girl whose channel this is on, but she's, you know, of the Gen Z generation, but she is, you know, pretty conservative. She's trying to wake her peers up and help them recognize the insanity that they've been indoctrinated with. But she was talking about something called learned helplessness. And basically, you know, she used the example of how you'll have all these people reading through TikTok or they're scrolling through social media. And, you know, for an example, they'll be talking about a restaurant or some food that they have, and they'll list the name of the restaurant and all of the details in the description box, and they'll even talk about it, but still they'll get, you know, tons of questions about what restaurant was this at? What food did you eat? You know, they'll have all of these people asking questions about everything that they were just told. And I think it's just, it's a matter of this generation. They just want things to be handed to them. They just want things to be told to them. It's also why they grab on so easily to just headlines and hashtags and talking points, and they don't feel like they have to do any research. So when it comes to things like a ballot and whether or not they're going to be able to read what things are actually about, they're to the point where they don't even care. They're just going to go with what they're told, give them one sentence. It doesn't even have to be true. And that is what they're going to base their vote on.
100%. Well, good news story is the AG of Missouri is looking to charge the 15-year-old girl. That would be the one on top, bashing Kaylee's head into the ground. They're looking to charge her as an adult. 100% she should be charged as an adult. This is... Oh, why? I don't know why I keep... Did I change a button? Yeah, I keep sending it over to you. Sorry. But yeah,
it's okay.
This is a good news story, in my opinion. Yes, 15, definitely a good age to try people as adults for committing violent crime like this. Gun-related crime... Now, if a 15-year-old is out and they've got some marijuana, maybe they're even selling marijuana to their friends. I don't necessarily think they need to be charged as an adult. But when they're out committing robberies, committing assaults, obviously aggravated battery, malicious wounding, anything like this, fracturing people's skulls, they need to go to prison. Sorry, not sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. No, I 100% believe that this young lady, she made an adult decision. She literally tried to kill this girl. Whether, you know, in that moment, that's actually, you know, where her mind was going. You know, there are adult consequences to adult behaviors. And I'm sorry. I mean, I don't know if it's gentle parenting that led up to this or no parenting that led up to this moment. But, you know, at some point, you know, reality is going to come back to bite every single one of these kids in the butt. And it just is what it is. I have sympathy for however she was raised. And, you know, clearly this is not somebody who comes from a healthy home life, because people that come from a healthy home life don't treat other human beings this way. You know, and it's unfortunate that you know, she's acting out probably in a way that is a reflection of how she was raised, but it is what it is, you know. Yep. These are the consequences.
Yep, 100%. Throw the book at this chick. I would say the reasonable person standard, I think 10 out of 10 reasonable people understand that smacking someone's head repeatedly against concrete could reasonably be expected to kill them. This is worse than any knee on neck or anything like that. And I'm not going to play it again, but the audio of her head and her body bouncing around and smacking into the concrete is pretty terrible. On that note, we're not going to watch it now, but I will put the link is not below, but I will drop the link in the chat. This coverage that I'm dropping right now is just really excellent coverage and a really excellent way. I forget who the doctor who's in it, this woman here, but it's just a really excellent way of addressing the behavior and the shortcomings in the home. But it also mentions that there's a GoFundMe for Kaylee Gahan. And there should be. They've just surpassed 100,000, so they're just into the six figures raising funds. But her medical bills are going to be exorbitant because she's in a coma. Mm-hmm. So if you can give to that, the links in all of the chats. It's on Twitter. It's on Rumble. It's on Facebook and YouTube. And if you're watching somewhere else, I don't know how. Oh, I guess there's Getter. There's still people over on Getter. Thanks for being here.
Awesome.
And if you're a podcast listener, then rate and review the show because Apple loves it when you like faith-based conservative commentary shows on their platform. It's their favorite. we are going to do a fun little... Oh, no. Did I screw this up? Before we do a fun little segment, I want to talk about Next Benedict, who can I just say, Samantha called it, I called it, everyone with a pulse and a couple of things bouncing around in between their ears called it. Next Benedict has reportedly died by suicide, which is extremely sad. We don't want to lose anyone to suicide, vets, first responders, children, teens going through crisis. Again, I forget who said, suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. So there's life, there's hope, there's so many things on the other side of these crises. And Libs of TikTok did not kill this woman, this young girl. Bullies, bigots, white supremacists, transphobia did not kill this young woman. And in all honesty, in my view, speaking for myself, not for Samantha, but I've watched enough of her for her content to know what she's going to say, not just mental illness and confusion killed this girl, but studies show that affirmation and affirming behavior of psychosis or delusions increases suicidality. Right of affirming care by 30%. So The people who are unwilling to tell someone dealing with the particular mental illness that Next was dealing with, the people unwilling to say, hey, you know, this isn't right, but I love you anyway, I'm here no matter what, the people who weren't willing to take that stand are the people who contributed to her decline and untimely death. Not us, not Christians, not MAGA white men, not conservatives, not Donald Trump. The data is in. Affirming care, gender-affirming care, or however else you could put it, trans-affirming language, all of that stuff, the stuff you're trying to beat over our heads. The studies, the science says that's what killed her. But I know you got thoughts on this one.
This is one I've been talking about, you know, since it happened. And, you know, really is unfortunate, because even watching the police cam video of this young girl, she seemed really nice. She seemed really sweet. A point that I made on Twitter today that seems to have gotten a lot of attention is not that, you know, she didn't take her own life because of bullying. You know, as the media has been portraying this as something that happened to an LGBTQ student, because, you know, rampant bullying is happening against these people, against any kid that identifies as something that's non-traditional, that takes on one of these alphabet identities, and it needs to stop. And also, in order to save their lives, we need all of this legislation that allows them to change their pronouns and their names and get surgeries that mutilate their bodies. So that is what her death has been used for. And of course, they pushed this narrative before we had any facts about what really happened, because they wanted to exploit her trauma and her situation before we could find out, you know, the truth of the matter, which was that this girl came from a broken home. This girl was being raised by her grandmother. And, you know, you can tell that there's something wrong in her life when she is in the permanent care of somebody that is not her parents. Yep. And that is not to say that grandparents can't, you know, be loving and kind, wonderful people to raise their kids or to, you know, to raise their grandkids. But 99.9% of the time, anytime a child is put in the permanent custody of someone that is not their parents, there is something that has gone wrong in that situation, and it has to have been pretty serious. And we are learning that next, her dad is in prison, that her dad abused her in some way and is in prison. So, you know, all of us could see that there was trauma behind the scenes, that there was some other issue going on. So her trauma and her situation in life and her mental health did not start the day that she decided to change her pronouns. It didn't start the day that somebody started bullying her about being a little bit different. It started early in her childhood and carried on with her. And for whatever reason, all of this trauma that is piled on to this 16-year-old girl got to be too much. And, you know, I don't think that anybody could really blame her for that. It's really sad that it came to that. But the fact is, if you listen to any number of detransitioners, every single one of them will tell you about a mental health issue or trauma in their background that led them to the point of wanting to be somebody that they're not, of wanting to change their identity because it's an escape for them. But in no way is it a help to these people. It is not going to cure them. There is no way that you can cure trauma and mental illness by piling on another mental illness.
Nope. Speaking of another mental illness, despite facts that fly in the face of this nonsense, President Joseph R. Biden tweeted out, "In memory of Nex, we must all recommit to our work to end discrimination and address the suicide crisis," just like he said when she mysteriously died, you know, when the story first broke. "Suicide crisis impacting too many non-binary and transgender children." Okay, so what's true about this? In memory of Nex, okay, that's true. We must all recommit to... you could say that's true. "Our work to end discrimination." No, that's where the lies come in right there. Discrimination was not a contributing factor. You feel that way, you say that, and all of your dumb paid off media is going to parrot that. But there is zero empirical evidence that discrimination or that people not agreeing with you, or that me not saying your pronouns, even though I call all of you people by your name, because you can change your name or be called whatever you want. My name's Joseph. I go by Joe. I expect that people call me Joe. I don't care what you go by, but pronouns, give me a break.
Yeah.
Nothing about this is true.
No, absolutely not. Well, and first of all, important fact, in case anybody forgot, Nex started that fight. She is the one who instigated that physical fight. You know, these girls were making rude comments to her. And, you know, spoiler alert, that's something that you deal with every single day, even as an adult. Like, the messages that I get sometimes are just wonderful.
You don't throw water or, you know, nondescript chemical agents at people when they hurt your feelings. What are you talking about?
Nope. That's apparently considered assault. So that is something that I don't do. But she is the one who started that fight. Secondly, in this statement where he's talking about, you know, we want to talk about the suicide crisis that is impacting non-binary and LGBTQ people, however he worded that, that statement is discriminatory in and of itself because he's not talking about the fact that this crisis is affecting all students under the age, you know, this age group is in an absolute mental health crisis right now. Suicide rates are off the charts for this group, but the only group that he is mentioning are the people that belong to the alphabet mafia, and he is discriminating every other kid that is struggling right now.
Can I just say, we're gonna do it live. I never bring this platform up. Got to be super careful here, just because.
OnlyFans?
No. We are getting to some OnlyFans stuff, but no. Let's see. Let me just check. I'm bringing up my LinkedIn. Okay, here we go. Yeah, because there are definitely some considerations with LinkedIn and the type of work that I do. Anyway, this is a tweet. This is a post from Sean Moore, who was founder with her husband of Operation Frontline Families, an excellent veterans ministry. But after some 12, 13 years of dealing with suicidal tendencies and attending all of the various therapies, her husband, who is a United States Army vet, killed himself over the weekend, I believe. So this is them. But 22, 23, 24 veterans or active duty service members are committing suicide every day. Biden doesn't give a crap. He's their boss. He's the commander in chief. And he says nothing about it ever. Not even when he goes to FOBS or goes out onto military installations. You know, he's accepting of the burning of this flag. Just the, like, miss me with you. You care about people committing suicide bullcrap when you're doing this for political gain and to stir up your stupid little woke base, because they're going to be like, yeah, dying teens are bad. Donald Trump killed her. MAGA snuck into her house and threw water on her and beat her to death. That's why she's dead. This is reality, and Joe Biden's Twitter is the Capitol in the Hunger Games. It's just total nonsense.
Yep, absolutely. And that's why I say, you know, the message that he sent was discriminatory in and of itself, because he doesn't care about the suicide crisis that is affecting every other group of people right now. How many millions of people are feeling just so completely hopeless right now. Because of the fact that every aspect of American life is in crisis. We're in this downward spiral. And yeah, he is the commander in chief over the military. He has more ties to them than he does to a high school in Oklahoma. Yet for some reason, he can pick out this one student's name in this podunk town in the middle of nowhere, but he has nothing to say about all of these service members. He should know every single one of their names, and he should be respecting them every single day.
Since we're talking about suicide, this is an Anchorbox. And Anchorbox is an awesome company. I want to say ministry, but I don't think that they're religious. If you've ever been suicidal, you might recognize this little box. But Anchorbox, if you guys want to spread some positivity in your community, you can get one of these. They're free. They send them to you. I got a bunch of these at work at my last several jobs. And they're really for first responders and military. But you put them in places that we frequent, you know, the bars that vets go to, or the kind of places that first responders frequent. A lot of times you'll see something like this at a coffee shop. But it's a bunch of stuff. There's 52 Reasons to Live card deck and all of their boxes. their notes, and you can, every box has a serial number, so they move all around. I've put dozens out in my community. I keep two, I keep a couple with me just in case. I've got a ton of friends that are still in law enforcement, still in the military, and you know, if we're not going to support each other, then Joe Biden certainly isn't. Right. So as someone who's stood on the bridge and stepped off of it, this topic is important to me. Sorry, I didn't step off the bridge. I got off the bridge. So still here and still kicking. And thankfully, I don't really deal with any of that anymore. All right. So we have to get into lighter-hearted topics. So it's time for the whatever podcast. Before, oh, no, it's not. It's time for Fact or Crap. So we'll see if this is a segment that's going to happen again in the future. I thought it would be fun to do Fact or Crap. So we'll just play a couple of little shorts, and we will vote together, Samantha and I and you, the audience. Whether this is a fact or crap. I cannot hit the right button tonight. Goodness gracious. All right, here we go. First one, fact or crap.
Are stronger and bigger than us. Because men are stronger and bigger than us, if we have a weapon, they can always wrestle it out of us and use it against us. For that purpose, I actually started training like BJJ.
Well, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Why would you think that if a guy could wrestle a gun away from you, which is about the deadliest object you can have, that he's not going to have a massive advantage over you if you know Brazilian jiu-jitsu?
There's going to be some language in these clips.
Jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, so in my Brazilian jiu-jitsu class, like one of her friends, she's a purple belt, and she was attacked by two people, and she broke all their legs, and it was like on the news.
Your friend was not attacked by two men, broke their legs. That's absurd.
4'11" girl attacked.
Your 4'11" girlfriend did not break a bunch of men's legs.
Because men are stronger and...
All right, so fact or crap. Super feminist chick says, with all of her girl power energy, women, you don't need a firearm. You can just learn Brazilian jiu-jitsu. If you have a gun, that bigger, faster, stronger man's just going to beat you and take it away from you. If you don't have a gun, the bigger, faster, stronger man, and maybe even his friend, can come up to you, and you know Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and you'll just... What do we think?
I don't know. I mean, do I think that a 4'11" girl is going to break these guys' legs? No. I don't think that that is something that happened. I do think that there is a lot of value in learning how to defend yourself physically and learning self-defense. But when it comes to who's going to inflict more damage, like you, the girl who knows jiu-jitsu, or the guy that just took your gun away, it's going to be the guy with the gun. So I don't know. I think I might have to go with crap on this one.
Yeah, I'm going with total crap. I don't believe... I trained Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I've trained with a lot of women. Everyone who's a practitioner, John Lovell, who's an Army Ranger and a Brazilian jiu-jitsu practitioner, he tells you if it's two or more combatants, run. The reality is it's exceedingly difficult for one person, man, woman, child, girl, whatever, to fight multiple people with their hands. I would call bullcrap for most men to say they were accosted by two men and they beat them both up and broke their legs. No.
Yeah.
For that reason, I call bullcrap. And what's his? I forget his name. He's a Navy SEAL. He's got like really long beard, long hair. His podcast is called something. He does Truck Talk with whatever his name is. He said, look, guys. He said, I'm a Navy SEAL, tough guy, killed a lot of people. I know a lot of martial arts. I train MMA and Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And he says, when I'm out on the street, I carry a gun because you can't rely on your hands and feet and fist to protect your life. Life is the stupidest thing.
I say
the stupidest thing, but then we have the ladies at the View. All right, so fact or crap?
Well, if you shoot with an AR-15, let's say you shoot a deer, you can't eat it.
Seems like I can.
Because you basically demolish.
In addition to that, but the hunt is about an actual difficult process, not massacring bodies of any kind.
This is the typical hunting rifle bullet, and this is a tiny 22 caliber AR-15 bullet. As you can see, it doesn't massacre the deer.
Well, if you shoot with an AR-15, let's...
All right, so the claim is kind of trifold. You can't hunt with an AR-15 in Virginia. You can't hunt with a 5.56 or 223 round. It's illegal, which is stupid. But the claim is you can't hunt with an AR-15. The bullet, one said, eviscerates the animal. But the other one was massacres the animal. Yeah. I'm not really sure what that is. Like, you shot a deer and his 10 deer friends dropped dead too. Like, you're the John Wick of hunting deer. I love that I paused it on. She says, you can't eat the meat. She says, but I can.
Right.
Yeah. So what do you think about this?
Is the entire meat section of the grocery store are those all of the animals that were not killed with AR-15s? I want to know what method they were killed with, because apparently we're just wasting a bunch of animals out there. I mean, I'm not an expert. But I don't think I need to be. I mean, that is, well, it came from The View, so obviously it's going to be total crap. But I think I remember a congresswoman a while ago talking about this same thing, about how, you know, hunting animals with an AR-15 basically just eviscerates them. It's just, it's almost like they just disintegrate. It's like they poof into this bloody mist. I don't know. I think the people that don't know what they're talking about shouldn't be talking about these things.
Yeah, so for all of you, these are the scary bullets we carry in our semi-automatic handguns. They're very small. That second bullet there is the typical AR-15 round. You could get AR-15s chambered in a bunch of different things, but typically people say the military-style rifle, the AR-15, which is not an assault rifle, it's an Armalite rifle per its patent. That's what AR stands for. It was created by Eugene Stoner. It used to be called the Stoner rifle back when he worked for, I forget the name of the company. But anyway, he sold the design to Armalite, went to work for them. So that little green tip one is, I actually have those too. Yeah, I actually have a green tip. This little green tip, which is not armor piercing for the idiots to think that. It's a small round. The rounds on the left are hunting rounds.
Yeah. Well, still, I mean, and just in my non-expert brain, I'm looking at those and, you know, people that go hunting, they typically go hunting with the goal of using the animal that they are hunting. So they're not going to use a weapon that is going to blow the animals to smithereens. Like, that's not the goal, because they're not out there just
them?
Yeah, they're not going on this deer massacre. they're not out there taking them down by the hundreds. They're going to, you know, get one or two animals where they can use the majority of the meat for, you know, their meals and things. So it doesn't take a lot of logic. You don't have to be an expert.
We're sorry, Joy Reid. It looks like we are giving you crap on this one. All right, so kind of segueing into the next topic. Here we go. The last fact or crap. Michael Knowles on the Whatever podcast with some, I don't know, woke feminist chick. I don't really know her name. Here we go.
You can't raise a family in America for the average person today on one income. And that's a result of women entering the workforce and wages decrease, which is why not only the radical left, but also the more commercially minded right wing was in favor of that. It's the same reason they're in favor of mass migration. It just lowers wages for people. A lot of women, however, seem to feel not that they have the choice to go to work, but that they have to. And this is expressed in a famous study that came out of UPenn and was published by Yale in 2008, which was The Paradox of Declining Female Happiness. And I love the way this study opens up. Right in the abstract, it says, despite the past 35 years showing so much marked progress and improvement in the lives of women, women's happiness, according to this meta-analysis, has declined, both absolutely and relative to men. Women, in particular, became less happy, despite all these objective improvements to their lives. So, to me, the obvious rejoinder to that is, well, maybe those objective improvements, namely feminism, maybe that wasn't an objective good. Maybe that was just illusory. Well, you can't raise a family.
All right, so the claim from the left is that feminism is the best thing to happen since sliced bread, greater than Jesus and greater than Gandhi and greater than the Industrial Revolution. If those three had a baby, it would be feminism. And it's resulted in boss babes and women in the boardroom. And that is good and is helping women thrive and flourish. Michael Knowles is saying that the data on that says that's not quite true. So our question to you audience is, fact or crap? Feminism is the love child of Jesus and Gandhi and the Industrial Revolution.
100% true.
True.
So is the question if feminism has made women happier or that all of these so-called improvements have made them happier?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. I have a lot of thoughts on this as well, but I'll try and keep it short. First of all, you need to define what improvements are, because I feel like so much of society today, especially the way men and women think, everything is measured about... It's measured in this realm of what you contribute to the workforce, what your job is, what your income is, what your paycheck looks like, what your retirement looks like. And nobody seems to be thinking about building a life as a family, as a whole, as a unit. You know, jobs and income, those things fluctuate through your entire life, but that seems to be the only thing that everybody is focused on. And women, we weren't made to do that. I mean, yes, we can work and there's not a problem with us working, but because of the way that we are made, we're nurturers, we're caregivers, we were meant to raise children. That is where we are happiest. We were meant
canceled.
To take care of
us. I'm sorry. I have to stop this bigotry on the show.
I know.
This fully canceled.
It's my How internalized dare you. Misogyny.
Your body, your choice. And I say your right. choice is working.
But I mean, the more that we try to behave like men, the more that we pursue careers and all of these things, we're not getting any happier. That's because we're steering further and further away from the thing that we were meant to do. And I get so tired of hearing all these women, because I listen to a lot of these, I kind of binge watch these guys they respond to women on TikTok who go on TikTok and cry about getting a divorce, or they give really bad advice to women about dating or whatever it is. Or they talk about how, women have improved themselves so much and now there aren't enough men to go for the high quality women and all these things. But everything is measured on the paycheck that you bring in. And that is something, yes, it's important. Obviously, you need to survive, but that's not the measure of human happiness. It's about what two people are bringing to the household and building as a unit and fulfilling this, this thing that actually does make people happy. So, yeah, feminism has just made women absolutely miserable, and they still blame men for all of it, for their misery.
It's funny you said it depends on how we define improvements. The funniest thing about the UPenn study that was published by Yale is they let women define improvements, happiness, good, all of those things subjectively, however they wanted. And they still, on every metric, said, we are feeling worse. So yeah. They're saying, hey, you can have your cake and eat it too. You can make up the rules. You can make up the reality of this study and just tell us how you're crushing it. So they made up the game rules. And then they said, yeah, we are not crushing it. And it's like, yeah. No one is, it's like that, it's that SNL skit where Kristen Wiig is like, everyone's making me sing. And the party guests are like, no one's making you sing. And she's like, everyone needs me to sing. I have to sing. Don't make me sing. And it's like, no one's making you sing. No one is making you pretend to be a dude. And it used to be, a misnomer. Now it's a nomer. We weren't trying to make you pretend to be a dude, and now you're actually pretending to be a dude with a sock in your underwear, and you're taking hormones to grow a beard.
Yeah.
No, just stop.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, one of the biggest problems too is that feminism has made it impossible for women to acknowledge that perhaps they do want to get married and have a family and to raise kids. You know, it's still looked down upon, and it's like, stop. First of all, stop caring what everybody else thinks. Like, and don't take advice from women who are clearly miserable. You know, they're out there, they're single, you know, they're getting to be their mid 30s, early 40s, and they're not married. They don't have anything but their career. And I'm sorry, you know, good for you, but that's not really anything to brag about, because anybody can have a career. It takes people that are truly interested in happiness and joy and, you know, fulfillment and bettering themselves to actually want to raise a family and to make sacrifices and to partner with somebody in life.
Facts. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wait, was that a fact or crap? I think it is a fact.
Feminism. Yes. Oh, feminism is making women miserable.
So we only really have time for one more. Do we want to do TikTok, or we want to do the whatever podcast?
I don't care. I'll let you decide. Let's talk about TikTok.
All right. Well, if you guys haven't heard, it's the TikTokalypse. Yeah, I got it. Woo! It's the TikTokalypse. Oh, the United States House of Representatives voted this week to effectively ban TikTok from the United States, or have the one controlling interest, one person, that's all, divest all of their, divest themselves from TikTok. Anyway, the things that you're not hearing in the media, you're not hearing HR 7521, you are not hearing Protecting Americans from Foreign Advisory, Adversary Controlled Applications Act, you're not hearing any of that. You're just hearing people's opinions and a bunch of nonsense about what this bill does, and it's the apocalypse. It's gonna cause Biden to be able to close down Al Gore's internet, and then Trump's gonna get elected, and it's gonna allow him to be permanent emperor forever, and it's going to make it so that the NSA can reach inside everyone's phone and computer and watch you while you sleep and listen through your Amazon Alexa devices. Oh, wait, that happened in 2001. Anyway, what the act does is, let's read it together, because no one wants to read this thing. I'm not going to tell you my opinion about what the bill does. I'm going to tell you what the bill does. Here's the bill, folks. In general, this is a prohibition of foreign adversary-controlled applications. It shall be unlawful for an entity to distribute, maintain, or update, or enable to distribute, maintain, or update a foreign adversary-controlled application by carrying out within the land or maritime borders of the United States any of the following. And then it talks about distributing data, maintaining data, blah, 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 blah. But the key phrase is this: foreign adversary controlled application. You don't have to Google it. It has relevant exemptions. We're going to skip over that. You don't have to Google it, because in any legal document, there's going to be a definition of terms. Even if it's the word "the," if it's critical to the syntax of the piece of legislation, then "the" is defined. And, you know, maybe that's why Bill Clinton got confused about the meaning of "is." Controlled by a foreign adversary. The term controlled by a foreign adversary means, with respect to a covered company or entity, that such company or other entity is a foreign person that is domiciled in, is headquartered in, has its principal place of business in, or organized under the laws, key part, of a foreign adversary country. Yes, the United States has adversary countries, folks. You may have heard of them. China, Russia, North Korea. I almost said Pakistan. Pakistan's not on the list anymore. In my opinion, if it ends in Stan, it should be on the list, but I'm not in charge. Iran, you may have heard of it. They're Houthi thugs are sinking ships and shooting down $10 million or $30 million drones. Yeah, those are adversary nations. You as a citizen right now today, you are not allowed to have close financial entanglements, personal relationships, or controlling interest in any of those countries. It's against the law. It's kind of against like finance law here in the United States. It's majorly against their laws. They won't allow it. You can't have a controlling interest in an Iranian base and a North Korean base. You think you can call up Kim Jong-un and be like, hey, bro, I'm trying to bring Pizza Hut to North Korea. What's good? No, you can't. It's not a two-way street. All of these companies are operating, all of these nations, I don't believe North Korea is operating here, but these nations are operating, controlling data and applications and things like that. Here in the United States, we can't do it there. They can manipulate our elections. We can't do it there. They don't have elections. That's what the bill does. All right, so that's my 2 cents. I feel like that was a nickel. That was my nickel.
There was like 25 cents. Yeah, no, and I, the funny thing is, I mean, overall, if someone just says, we're going to ban TikTok, I'm like, okay, do it.
She's just like, easy.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, I wish this bill would have been one sentence. It's like, this bill moves to ban TikTok from the US. Like, done. Like, just get it through.
I agree. All of our bills. That's how legislation should be.
Just one sentence.
You should run. You should run again.
I know. Maybe. We'll see. But yeah, if I do, every single bill I introduce is going to be one sentence. But, you know, so I was like, okay, ban TikTok. That's not a terrible idea. I talk a lot about TikTok. And again, as I'm getting more into Peter Schweizer's book, I know that he's got a lot of content in there about TikTok that I'm very interested to read. Maybe I'll do a little mini summary next week on the show. But you know, we know that there are all of these harmful behaviors that are put on TikTok. And, you know, I described it this week, and you can tell me if you agree or not. It's almost like a personalized drug that is specific to you to hit you at like your greatest weaknesses with the most force, like just you specifically, because it's really catered to how you think, what your interests are, the rabbit holes that you go down. And it really is like a personalized destruction. So, I mean, and that is all obviously, you know, the intent of China. They are trying to take us down. I did hear that Nancy Pelosi was in favor of this bill. So then I was like, okay, what rights am I losing? Like, how are they, like, what, this can't be right. So I think there is definitely a lot more to it than what we're being told, because if the Democrats are in favor of this, you know that there is a benefit to them in some way, and anything that benefits them is a detriment to us. But I think overall,
I've heard that this is a super short bill. If it were printed out, it'd probably fit on 3 pages. I've read every word. I don't see it. The last bill was much worse. The bill that came under whatever the last Congress number was, it was much worse. It was a Digital Patriot Act that would give the government authority to do the craziest stuff with private companies' data, which they do anyway, but it would legalize it. They wouldn't have to do it in secret.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So I do have a little bit of skepticism there. But I think people need to look at this as like a TikTok recall. when you put a product out in the market and it's causing widespread harm to the consumers, you got to pull it back and you got to figure out how to make it better so it's not causing so much destruction, at least. So I think people need to calm down.
I'll tell you why this got bipartisan support. For whatever stupid reason, because Americans, I'm sorry, guys, we're dumb. We don't remember anything. It doesn't matter who championed the legislation, who fought for it, who made it happen. The president who signs it, their party gets the win. Conservatives have been against TikTok since the beginning. The libs were saying they're fascist. They're trying to cancel the internet. They're trying to ban books and censor apps that everyone loves. Now the shoe's on the other foot. They're like, yeah, we'll ban it. We'll ban it right now. Yeah, it was our idea the whole time. In fact, the Republicans stopped us from banning it sooner. This is what they'll say in 3 to 5 years. They'll say, we always wanted to ban TikTok when Donald Trump was president and when they had a larger, Donald Trump had more of Congress than we currently have. Oh, they didn't get it done then. But us Democrats, we're about business and we canceled TikTok. That was our first, they won't talk about the border crisis. They won't talk about any of this other stuff. They'll say our number one priority was protecting Americans from China, protecting our youths from Chinese indoctrination and propaganda. So we did what needed to be done and we canceled TikTok. And yeah, they're going to get the win, just like they got the win for, we do lobbying and we do community organizing. The Civil Rights Act, the civil rights movement was run by Republicans, not Democrats, but a freaking Democrat signed the Civil Rights Act into law, which makes them be able to say, despite the fact that the Democratic Party literally started the KKK, they have the ability to say, we are the champions of civil rights. And the only reason that civil rights didn't get passed sooner is because the right kept us from it, which is an outright lie, but we signed it into law. This is exactly that.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. Oh, I know. Well, yeah, they're going to take credit for it, but I still think that there's going to be something in there that's going to benefit them. But I think people just need to chill out. Well, and people keep saying that this is an attack on free speech. It has nothing to do with free speech because nobody's saying what you can and cannot say. And I mean, if we wanted to ban apps on the basis of free speech, we would have started with Facebook and Twitter a long time ago, because those were the ones that were being so heavily censored and obviously had a big impact on the, you know, on how people voted, whether you want to believe that or not. But, you know, all of these opportunities that we've had to go after social media because we know of the way that it is shaping culture and the way that people think, we would have done that long ago. That's not what this is about. So, yeah, I'm not that worried about it. And I am worried about the reaction to it. I am worried about the number of people that are like, no, I spend all day on it. What am I going to do?
Somehow you'll survive.
I know. Okay.
Yeah, I appreciate the skepticism. It's good to be skeptical of the government. It's good to ask why now? What's the other foot that's going to drop? I wish the libs would do that more often. Anyway, guys, if you came here to hear So Good or No Good about the Whatever podcast, if you came here to hear about Trump and the media and the ridiculousness going on in Haiti, then you have got to watch the Members Only After Show. It's free. It's just not on any of these apps. It's on Locals. However you're watching this, the link is there. It says, join. It's free. Join my Locals community. You can click on that. And in about 7-ish minutes, I'll be over there streaming. And it's probably good to keep the cannibalism off of YouTube. The news is just weird. The only other word from me is, well, like, share, subscribe, do all that stuff. If you're a podcast listener, rate and review. And thanks for being here. And there are almost 300 people watching this, which is a lot for live. So thank you guys for hanging out. And I've heard your calls specifically on Locals. People have been saying that they wish that there was something earlier in the day. I work full-time job. I can't really do something early in the day, but I'm going to try something just for you guys. I'm going to try to do a few 7 a.m. broadcasts of just me. So unless I stay up way too late last night, there'll be a show tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Eastern, which will be a lot of fun, talking about people getting shot up in New York City, which is par for the course. Oh, crap. What was the other thing? I can't remember the other thing. There's that. Locals. Tomorrow morning. Yep, must not have been important. What do you got?
Well, definitely, please go and subscribe on Rumble and YouTube. I put a fun video out this week about in response to Katie Britt's GOP response to the State of the Union address. If you guys did not see that, it was a particularly cringy video that the Republican senator from Alabama did. But I did find a liberal woman whose response to Katie Britt was that much more cringy. So you should all go check that out because it was pretty, that was a pretty fun one to do. But yeah, go subscribe, Rumble, YouTube, find me on Twitter and Facebook for as long as I am allowed to be on there. And yeah, find me on all the things under Outlook and Snippet.
Awesome. Well, guys, that's all we got. We will see you next week, or I'll see you on Locals in 5 minutes or tomorrow morning.